Hi, my name is Carrie Rivera, and welcome to BrighteyOn.tv. BrighteyOn.com and BrighteyOn.tv were created by Mike Adams, the health ranger for the preservation of freedom of speech. Thanks to Mike and his team for making this available for all of us. My guest today, the 19th of January, 2022, is a brave lady named Sareka Friends. Sareka is part of an organization in New Zealand called The Hood. It is comprised of doctors, nurses, academics, parents, scientists, lawyers, and more, who are dedicating to making the best decisions for children and young people regarding inoculations. The Hood NZ are not claiming to be anti-vaxxers. However, they are not pro-COVID jab since the science is not clear. The Hood has been looking at hard data from other countries where the children have received COVID jab. The Hood is not convinced that this should be given to people under the age of 18. You can find them on social media and at www.thehoodnz.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after the short break with Sareka Friend.
If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Welcome back to BrighteyOn.tv. My name is Carrie Rivera, and I'm joined today by Sareka Friend. Welcome, Sareka. It's so nice to have you, and I'm glad you got up early to be with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor, and it's a fun novelty being up this early to be
honest. Well, I think we have reason to celebrate because, as people probably don't know, your website is thehoodnz.com. So you're in New Zealand right now. And last night we got great news that Jacinda has stepped down from her broom, I guess we could say. And that's a reason to celebrate all over New Zealand.
My Facebook feed and social feeds are kind of blowing up at the moment in terms of everybody was apparently having drinks and whatnot last night and celebrating. I have to say I'm slightly skeptical. I mean, it is great, but I think people kind of forget that these people are also figureheads to a greater movement. So who do we get next? Because we don't know yet. So.
Well, that's true. That's true. But getting back to the hood, so you with a group of other people started a movement, which I think is extremely exciting. And like I was saying to you before we came on, I was always moved, even as a child, by the song from the Carpenters, "Bless the Beast and the Children, for in this world they have no voice, they have no choice. And who's going to defend the children? Who's going to defend the animals if we don't?" So it's our time. And you really, you and your group have taken the bull by the horns and said, it's not going to happen on my watch. So what you're doing is you're not saying no to childhood vaccinations, but you're saying no right now until the science is proven on the COVID jab.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be debate over all vaccinations, and different parts of the group have different views on that. But when you talk about a new technology, when you've got science that's not proven, and science... I love the hypocrisy of, you know, trust the science, or, you know, that the science is absolute. I mean, that laughs in the face of science, and all of our experts that we've worked with, and I say ours, they're not ours, but, you know, the people we've worked with, which are some amazing professionals, international experts, I mean, they all laugh at the fact that, you know, they're saying that the science is proven. Well, that's not how science works. I mean, we've learned in the last decade an absolute mountain of new things with the body. You know, you talk about mindfulness 10, 15 years ago, you would have been laughed out of the room by a professional or a doctor at least. And nowadays it's considered a very healthy part of, you know, everyday life, and you're encouraged to breathe and all these things that you would consider a happy for before. So I think that it is, it's crazy to say that the science is solved or you meet. The quote that I love is with the Pfizer representative. She said, "We had to move the speed of science." What's the speed of science? There's so many questions. And so we have taken the premise that until you can answer a bunch of very, very crucial and important questions, with some form of proof, not estimations, not, you know, data that has been created by, guesstimations. I can't think of something. Sorry, it's very early in the morning, so my brain is not activated very well here. But basically, they're making stuff up. There is no real-world evidence here yet, and the evidence that we are getting is not encouraging. So keep asking questions is what we need to do.
Did you see the woman who represented Pfizer at the UN? And when they were asking her questions about the jab, and they asked her, like, specifically, you know, if they had done the science, if it was safe, and she giggled and said, no, we didn't have time for that. So, I mean, they're even admitting this stuff. It's crazy. Yeah.
No, she's, it was such a good video clip, and we've posted it on social media more than once, and it is, it's laughable. The fact that people digest this and accept this kind of statement, there are so many things out there that defy logic when you look at this whole pandemic, if you want to call it that. There are so many things that just had everybody who was a critical thinker sitting there going, but that doesn't make sense. And even people who were willing to accept the narrative were still, actually, I remember we had a lot of lockdowns in New Zealand, and particularly in Auckland. Auckland, we used to joke about the fact that Auckland was always put in the naughty corner as the example, you know, to the rest of the country. The rest of the country was sort of, and we had all these levels, and we had traffic light systems, and we had all of these different bizarre things that they kept inventing for somebody's amusement rather than actual necessity. And then we had the masks brought in. And then we had all vaccine passports is what we called it, and then we had mandates, and we've had, and I know that we're kind of almost infamous for that, and that's why everybody is so down on Jacinda, because she was the voice that represented that. And again, that's why I say maybe I'm a skeptic a little bit, because she was just the mouthpiece, the voice, the puppet, you know, and it's very, very easy to to really dislike her. And I'm not saying I do, because I can't listen to the broadcasts with her, because she does represent the voice that dealt us some really rough times in this country. And very, very much unnecessarily, in my opinion. But when we came round to the quote-unquote vaccines, and we tried to use the word product or experimental treatment or many different words, because as you say, we don't believe that this qualifies as a vaccine. And I can't believe that people didn't actually sort of, or more people don't, I mean, not people, because there were a lot of us who questioned it, but didn't question the fact that they changed dictionary definitions to be able to include it, and things that were just alarm bells that were going off all over and still are. Yet it was so accepted. What happened to critical thinking and advocating for our children? And your Carpenter quote is so apt in that. And that's basically where I found myself, was we had the 12 to 15 year old age group rolled out here, in which many, many people had a problem with. Many of us didn't believe that it was necessary for adults, let alone children. But when the government announced that it was acceptable for a 12-year-old legally to give their own informed consent and to go off and have this treatment on their own, and I'm not sure if you guys had this, but we had, you did in the US, I don't know about all states, but we had promotions. We have lower economic, families and whatnot, and they were giving away, KFC vouchers and supermarket vouchers, petrol vouchers, like lotteries. If something works and if something is necessary, you don't need to bribe people to go and get it. You know, if the science is there and the proof is there, we will all happily say, if this is going to save us from something deadly, which I don't believe it was, you don't have to bribe me to do that. I'll be there and I will bring my children, because I am about protecting children. But this stunk, and there were horrible videos of parents turning up to vaccination centres, because we had all these pop-up vaccinations, there still are, pop-up vaccination centres, and these kids had gone to get movie vouchers and to get all sorts of things. And I just remember this heartbreaking video of a dad whose two boys had taken themselves off and had themselves jabbed, like a 12 and 13-year-old. And he was just yelling, how can you do this without my consent? How? These boys have no idea what they've just done. All they care about is the $50 they've just walked away with. And it was such a powerful video. We shared it at the time. And it just was heartbreaking to me and so concerning, because a 12-year-old cannot make informed decisions, about something that we don't even understand properly yet. So yes, the voice for children, when it came down to 5 to 11-year-olds, we had prepared ourselves, we had started together, and we had a legal team starting the preparation. And yes, we took the government to High Court over that rollout.
And how did that go when you got to High Court with the government? How did that turn out?
We have a very difficult system, a judicial system in New Zealand that made it very, very difficult to argue. We had a very, very small sort of gap in which to argue a judicial review. And so that was not about the product itself. It was about the decision to actually roll it out. So that came down to our MedSafe authority and also our... the representative for our health system over here. So MedSafe, it's all in that name actually, is supposed to guard and make sure that our medicines are safe in New Zealand. And so there was a challenge made by us, that there was a decision that was made by Mr. Chris James, who's the head of MedSafe. And he basically, he has all the power in the world, and even the judge in the ruling said he actually doesn't have to justify himself. So he has a team of people who look into things, and he is actually not required to even read the data or the information if he doesn't wish. It's fine for him to just rubber stamp something. And that in itself is blowing my mind. It's just like, when you actually start looking into most countries' legal systems or governmental systems, you start sort of going, whoa, how do we trust this? You know, there is a lot of holes in there. And even the Crown admitted at one point in court that there's not enough parameters to argue this the way that we were trying to argue it, because it was not merit-based. However, we did put a massive amount of merit-based evidence through. So our legal team, who was headed up by our QC, David Jones, and managed very much by our legal, we called her a legal case manager. So she's a Kiwi who's living in Australia, and she was brilliant. That's Katie Ashby Copins, and she was instrumental in getting this case over the line. But mostly Katie, we liaised with Dr. Robert Malone, Dr. Peter McCullough, we had Dr. Gert Vandenbosch, we had nine incredible international experts who were in. We looked at the statistics, we had statistical experts, we had the side effects, we had vaccine manufacture. Obviously Robert Malone was talking about RNA technology issues with rolling it out, it not being ready or appropriate. So we had huge amounts of evidence, and that evidence is just the last two reports are actually being loaded onto our website now. So if anyone wants to see it, it will be up, as will the evidence from the respondents, as well as the applicants affidavits and whatnot. So basically, and the judicial review. So the judge ruled, unsurprisingly, not in our favour. And again, the majority of that was because of the judicial review restriction. He didn't acknowledge, sadly, any of the evidence that we put forward, which was powerful. And if anyone actually reads it and reads the science that is included in that, you wouldn't touch this thing, and you certainly wouldn't touch it with your child. And that's the sad part of it, is that that was missed out, because we were hoping that this would be included so that the public would actually at least start to think. You know, there would be a bit of a challenge, a little bit of a sort of a prompt to think, oh, hang on, that doesn't sound right. But we got no media coverage almost at all here. We sent out press releases, we sent out information, we did many, many things to try to prompt the media. It was bizarrely quiet outside the High Court. We had alternative media over here covering it. We had supporters. We were publicly funded, community funded, because to take something to High Court obviously takes a lot of money. And to say that this was that we were a small minority that had concerns is ridiculous when you actually look at the support that we had. And that support was gained through social media, in which we are absolutely like censored. So imagine what would happen if the public had actually seen us or knew about us. There are groups that still go, oh, what's the hood? Who's the hood? And I'm like, you know, we're a small country. You'd think the word would get around, but literally a few hundred people, if that, see my posts and whatnot, because our hashtag on Instagram has zero posts, and I can tell you that I hashtag pretty much everything. It's incredible what's happened to the world. But yeah, it was disappointing, but we have that evidence out there now. That evidence is on the website, and it's publicly available. And those reports are, like I said, powerful, and that's what it's worth for us. It's now, if you've got questions, go read those. They are sworn testimony from international experts, and the data doesn't actually come. Science apparently does. The data doesn't.
Well, I think what you're doing is a great example to the rest of the world, saying, let's start working locally. Because I think a lot of people are waiting for their president, like I was excited about Jacinda, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it doesn't, or Biden, or whoever the clown, you know, whoever the puppet is, there's always a puppeteer. So the puppeteers are never going to change, just the puppets are going to change. So it really doesn't matter for the rest of us what's going to happen. So it's very important to start working locally. And I think in the States, in the U.S., I haven't lived there in 30 years, but I think in the U.S., a lot of people are doing that. They're starting with their local levels. I had an interview with a man yesterday. He lives in Canada, and he said he was so surprised how many of his neighbors supported the truckers movement in Canada. And I guess there was a lot of people from his small town. He lives in a small town. I'm not familiar with where, but he lives in a small town. And he said they're even starting to grow their own food. Somebody, I guess, has donated their 160 acres and this group from this small town. So work in their anti-jab, for example, you know, most of them are unjabbed and stuff. So I think you're setting a great example by starting locally. But how did the hood come to be? Like, whose idea was this and how did it even start up?
It was a bit of an evolution, really, because I'm not sure if you're familiar with Voices for Freedom. So Voices for Freedom was set up by three women in New Zealand who know my friend of mine. And so from the very outset with Voices for Freedom, I had I'd been questioning things and we'd been background, and they'd been making great moves. So, you know, everything that you're talking about, they had started to right at the beginning, and just trying to sort of wake people up to thinking about this and trying to remove some of the fear that was being very much pumped out. I mean, our dear leader at the time, now to be removed, but or to step away, was actually said on camera, I don't know if you saw the clip, but it was a pretty well publicized clip. She actually called it propaganda on live TV. And I mean, that was a moment in which our jaws actually just dropped. Like, she literally just said this on television. Like, it is propaganda, people. So they had made moves to create hubs in all of the main centers throughout the country. And initially, I'm speaking out of turn because this is my interpretation of the initial onset. But they, it was really because everybody needed support, because everybody felt alone. Like you say, you didn't know that your neighbour felt like that. And I literally had the same thing here. I had no idea. My neighbour, she feels the same. And it got people talking. And we were literally told by Jacinda not to speak to our neighbours in lockdown. Don't speak to your neighbours. You know, we were all encouraged to be isolated. And I feel like the exact opposite started to happen, because you got isolated, so you were desperate to reach out to people. And it created networks, and Voices for Freedom were instrumental in doing that over the country. And other groups did this as well. I just happened to know them. We are not part of Voices for Freedom, and we were accused of that. That has become like, I don't know if you've seen, but our government has now called freedom fighters, if you want to call us that, or, you know, I personally think that we're people wanting some truth and some answers, but anyway, apparently freedom fighters or social terrorists is now what we are called. And there was a horrendous documentary called Fire and Fury. It was made by the mainstream media over here. And the kingpins of all of these freedom movements were very much targeted and ridiculed and given a hard time. I watched it sort of going, oh, I wonder if I will be in there. And I wasn't, partly I just think because I'm not a threat, because I'm so socially locked down on social media. But it was interesting to watch the narrative that they were trying to spin. You know, they love to, Voices have got these great memes, because apparently there was this list of things. If you were blonde, your children will braids, you knitted. If you were creative, if you liked real food, Something else, I don't know, but I check all of them. I cracked up. I was just reading, listening to this woman explain what social terrorists, to beware, because you never know who is a social terrorist near you kind of thing. Literally. Wow. The crazy. And I was like, oh my God, I'm literally now on a list of what would beware, she might be a social terrorist. And I mean, we need to be careful with that word, but it's so ridiculous that asking questions, gathering groups to support one another, and encouraging exactly what you say now, Voices are working quite heavily into supporting communities and growing gardens and just basically making people self-sufficient and again, to have a network and support.
We're going to be back in 10 seconds with our next half. So we're going to go to a very short break right now. When we come back, we'll be joined still by Serica Friend from thehoodnz.com. Don't go away.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivvy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivvy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care. This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Riots, recession, food prices, gas prices, violation of our liberties. These issues are keeping Americans awake at night. Sleepless nights aren't good for your health. Millions are suffering from sleep gap disorder. I'm Dr. Steve Hodgson, and I have a natural solution to overcome this dreaded sleep gap disorder, my proprietary sleep formula. One capsule of Sleep Formula will help you achieve a great night's sleep for as little as 75 cents per night. Visit our website, physicianspreferencevitamins.com, and enter the promo code SLEEPNOW. It's hard to stand up against tyranny when you're tired. Pray for our country and get a good night's sleep.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build a quiet suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
Satellite phone.
Welcome back to Brighteon.tv. My name is Carrie Rivera, and I'm still here with Serica Friend from New Zealand, thehoodnz.com. And when we left off, Erica was telling us about the social terrorist label that her and her group were so proudly blessed with, I guess. And I was mentioning that in the United States, they have something called the Dirty Dozen, of which it's Mike Adams, and it is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and Dr. Peter McCullough, and some of the great voices of science, of people that are speaking and saying, hey, what's going on here? There's no science to back this for, you know, any human being, because it is not actually what a vaccine is. And so you've also suffered under that. Did you lose your Facebook and all of your social media, or were you able to retain that?
No, again, thanks to censorship, I'm not a threat. So I am, well, yes and no, because nobody sees anything, you know. So again, it was actually really challenging to raise the funds to go to court. I mean, for a while there, we didn't actually think we were going to make it, which was incredibly disheartening, because there's so much information that is now, like I said, available on the website and whatnot. We put our hearts and souls into that court case and trying to get the information out there so that if people challenged us, we had somewhere to go and say, well, here you go, here's the information. But trying to gather those funds when you literally are getting no airtime, and as I said, you know, a handful of people. I mean, we're not a huge country, we're a country of 5 million. And it, well, yeah, comparatively, yeah, we're like a state, not a country, to
like
the
a
US,
city,
anyway.
Actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, our big city, I think it was 1.2. I don't know what Auckland is now, but again, small scale internationally. But you know, for us, that should have meant that we had good coverage. You know, if something goes viral in New Zealand, it spreads like wildfire, because again, we're contained, and nobody knew about us. So we had support of, you know, I guess our own dirty dozen in New Zealand. And that was how we managed to get out there to a degree. But again, we've been so muted. That's how I felt. I felt like I've been muted. And when you're fighting for children, that's incredibly frustrating. It's frustrating if you want a message to get out there at all. But I think on the days that you're absolutely exhausted and, you know, we worked incredibly hard and, you know, to the detriment of your own relationship with my child at the time, she was getting frustrated with me and, you know, you keep going because you just need to look at their face and go, you know, if we save one child from harm from doing this, then it's all worth it. And that's what it comes down to. And we, at the time when we started, we had mandates for 12 to 15 year olds, and there were children out there who couldn't set their driver's license. They couldn't go to the movies with their friends. You know, they couldn't go out to eat. They couldn't do so many things. And I know of stories personally where 14 year olds got themselves jabbed because they were so socially ridiculed. I mean, there was one case of a family that I know that we were doing Zoom classes because we, like I said, we were in lockdown for so long, and the teacher so inappropriately would have their class raise their hand almost every day to say who's gone and got their jab. And as the numbers dwindled, this one particular child that I know of ended up being, you know, the last one not to have her hand up. And it upset her so much. She was so ridiculed and so socially peer pressured that she took herself off to get it, not because she wanted it, not because she needed it, but because her teacher put her in a position, like somebody that should have had responsibility to be, you know, critical thinking, you know, to have critical thought, to have support for all views, to be unbiased, was up there creating the issue. And that happened all over the country in different ways. And then you had family court cases as well. So you had some people within actual marriages fighting over this. But predominantly you had separated parents, because you either had one narcissistic parent who was using it as a tool to hurt and punish, which was quite a common event. And so I did a lot of, and still do actually do a lot of support for those family court cases. So there's still a lot of things going on that are incredibly unjust. And they have now, any day now, we should have the infant Pfizer 3-shot product, I will call it, being
rolled out in New Zealand. However, they are doing this under the guise of for the vulnerable. So there is, and they're doing it so quietly. Like, there was all this sort of hoopla with the 5 to 11 and the 12 to 15 year old. And this is so quiet. Even when you search for it, you can't find, like, you've got to go to our Ministry of Health or the COVID response or to the Gazette to find this information. The media is not touching it. It just doesn't have the same emphasis that all the other ones did. But as I was about to say, I'm getting off track, is the 12 to 15 year olds had mandates and they began to speak, once the 5 to 11 year olds, they began to speak about restrictions. There were sports clubs who were saying in June, your children will no longer be able to attend unless they can show their vaccine passport. And they stopped it. And we really believe wholeheartedly that was to do with the work that we were doing, because they couldn't justifiably do it when there were so many questions that needed asking and that there was a high court case going on that had been accepted into court, i.e. had merit. You know, the case had merit. I mean, they don't put anything, just anything, through high court. So they had to admit that there was something going on. So the 5 to 11 year olds didn't have mandates, and thank goodness, because we actually have quite low numbers really for that age group in terms of, I don't know what they are nowadays, but it was much, much lower than our publicised 95% vaccinated, I think was supposed to be in New Zealand. I don't know what we actually got to, but I also don't believe it, to be honest. You know, you spoke about the Canadian truckers, and I don't know how many people saw that New Zealand actually did the same thing, and it was called Convoy, and it was inspired by the Canadians because that was an epic movement. And so the Kiwis, who I think we always kind of, we feel a bit like we are the little brother or sister of Canada, like we feel quite sort of linked, I guess, the Commonwealth connection.
Sorry.
And whatnot.
Sorry for that.
No, I think it's a good thing. So anyway, we were inspired, and New Zealand did the same thing. And then we ended up with the protests at Parliament and the term coined the River of Filth. And that was because everybody started camping on Parliament grounds. And we ended up with tens of thousands of people camping and there every day. And I went down. I wanted to see, because it was getting so much media thrashing in terms of, you know, it was the river of filth. So they were trying to imply that there was basically, you know, feces and rubbish and all sorts of unhealthy things. Don't take your children down. It's, you know, it's not appropriate. It was violent. It was this, it was that. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, because we flew down, drove down actually the first time we went to Wellington, and it was the most peaceful, the most loving, almost celebratory stance of freedom fighting that I have ever experienced. It was monumental. It was history making for us. And the government did all sorts of things, like Trevor Mallard, one of the speakers in government, turned the sprinklers on in the Parliament grounds so that it drenched everything. And then they started like a torture type technique where they put these big speakers out over the grounds and they would repeat the Macarena and other so-called unquote. James Blunt was one of them, and apparently he had commented that he was quite proud to have that being played and tormenting people. Why you would want to be proud of something that is actually a torture technique, I don't know. But you know what? People were incredible. They saw the humour in it, and it just made people band together even more. And you saw the best of New Zealand culture, because, you know, we became nuclear free and we're the first country to give women the vote. And we've got a long history of bucking the system and banding together when we need to for justice. And so I was actually surprised it took us that long to do something. but we did, and it did make a difference, and changes did happen afterwards. It didn't end well, you know, they sent the police in, but it was, I believe, 30 odd days. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a powerful statement to the government. It was a powerful statement to the country, and what it did was, again, like the intention of Voices for Freedom and other community groups, it showed the country that it's not, you know, the weirdo down the road, it's everybody, you know, and there were people there that had lost their jobs through mandates. You know, you had police officers, flight crew, nurses, doctors, all walks of life, all educated people that were no longer able to practice. We have a nurses and doctors shortage in New Zealand, yet they let a whole bunch of them go. And then they started allowing jabbed ones to work even with COVID. But an unjabbed couldn't. Like, and that is after we discovered that it didn't stop transmission or infection.
Yeah, it makes no sense. The whole thing is illogical. So if anybody has a deductive reasoning, a good mind for making sense out of things, it never made sense. And that's why a lot of people, and we actually had a lot of time, you know, between 2020 and, of course, like people like Mike Adams and Alex Jones and people like this, they were saying, you know, this is not about COVID, pandemic, not, it's about the jab. The jab that's coming, that's going to be the problem. And they were right, because that was really, and it separated us so dearly. Like I mentioned to you, I only had one friend in Germany, and she basically, I mean, like literally from one day to the next, when they start, because they mandated in Germany vaccines for anywhere you went. So you want to go to the store, you want to go wherever you go, you had to have a jab. You wanted to have a regular life, get your hair cut, whatever, you had to have a jab, or you'd have to go pay to have a test of a swab and then come with your test in order to get your hair cut or colored or whatever it was that I needed to do. Yeah, so that was really a big issue. You know what I was wondering with regards to the hood? Spending a little bit of money, I don't know where your funds come from when they are, but you can get little postcards. You can buy them online. They're very, very cheap now. I mean, they're cents. They're not even, you know, full dollars. And it can literally be thehoodnz.com. And on the back, it can have the website in like a brief paragraph. You know, we're not anti-vaxxers. We're just, you know, protecting the children. And put it in everybody's mailbox in your area. So if there, let's say there's 30 of you guys. Well, you know, if everybody can do 100, you know, you got 30,000. So you could instantly at least bet, you got to jump social media. I mean, we have to kind of go back. And I even saw a thing, people are going back to sticking stuff on polls and posting things, because how else do you get around the social media censorship? There's no other way but to go back to how things used to be, you know, 25, 30 years ago.
Well, nowadays, I think it's a guerrilla marketing is kind of what they consider it, you know.
Exactly.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because Voices for Freedom very much did do that. They had mail drops of pamphlets, and they did a really good job of getting out there. For us, I guess, because we were so focused on the court case, everything went towards that. And I guess we have been quiet, sitting in the wings, because really we step up once the children are being, you know, involved. And because in New Zealand, the uptake of the jab really did reduce, we really are just trying to educate, but it's kind of almost stopped. And I'm not saying that children aren't getting it. It's just that there's so many parents that don't want it now, and there's places to go. So we've kind of just, you know, we haven't stopped completely, but we're just sort of waiting in the wings, ready to act when we need to act. And so we're putting out information for the infant one to make sure that people actually start to think, because it's almost the exact opposite. This infant vaccine is coming out for the vulnerable. Arguably, that's the worst population for this to be given to, because you're talking about something that has proven side effects that affect the heart and the organs and the brain and create clotting and all sorts of different horrendous side effects. And I work closely in the background with Linda Wharton, who is, she founded the New Zealand Health Forum, and they do amazing work. They
they have created their own database to basically track the adverse events. And so they have their own numbers in which people actually voluntarily report. So somewhat like the VAS website, we have our own here, which is called CARM, C-A-R-M, and that tracks it governmentally. But loads of people don't trust that. And what happens to that data, whether it gets manipulated, there's not a lot of faith for those of us sitting there having seen and witnessed lies. Basically, blatant, bold-faced lies. We don't necessarily trust that. So Linda's been doing amazing work. And so we can see that these effects are actually happening. It's not some conspiracy theory, as we know, and Dr. McCullough will speak to that, as will the majority of the doctors, or all of the doctors that we used in our court case. So we're putting out some information for, you know, the infant jab to try and wake people up to the fact that, well, let's question whether your vulnerable child actually needs this. There is another group here called NZDSOS, which is New Zealand Doctors Standing Up for Science, and they have been fantastic. A lot of them either lost their jobs or were unable to work as well. And they put out some fantastic information and really challenge people to think. But again, it's not just me, because we all work together. Being a small country, we're all familiar with one another and share information and collaborate. So in terms of the Hood putting out the information, I don't personally think necessarily that we need to, because so many people are doing it. But you're right, and we did think about a sticker campaign, because that wake up and then go to our website is so important. And now that we've got past the court case and whatnot, we refreshed a little bit. You're quite right. It's another thing to look at, to get out there, to wake people up. I think we've just been in recovery mode, to be honest, after the court case.
I would urge people to go to your website, www.thehoodnz.com, and think about doing something locally. You know, the children don't have a voice. There is no need. Children don't get COVID. I mean, the whole situation is God made us perfect. If you don't believe in God, whatever you believe in. But we came perfect. And then, of course, man being greedy and evil, basically, I mean, they say man is basically good. I would beg to differ. But anyway, they're jabbing up. I'm a little cynical because I deal with children every day that are vaccine injured from childhood vaccinations. And right now we're looking at 1 in 27 children with autism. And by 2032, according to Dr. Stephanie Senna from MIT, every other child born will get autism in their lifetime. We are looking at extinction of humanity. We have got to wake up our neighbors. I mean, anybody sleeping, even if you don't have a kid, this is still about humanity. We're human beings and we need to go on. That would be, you know, they could argue that one also. But I mean, of course, you know, if you believe in God, this is something we have to do. If you don't believe in God, then probably still something you think we should do. But I believe, and I shouldn't push my thoughts, but I do really believe strongly that humanity, it's a blessing. And of course, if we're doing 1 in 27 children right now, and like Dr. Senev said 6-7 years ago at an Autism One conference, that we are scheduled, according to her statistical evidence, for this, especially because the vaccine has gone up. There's more vaccines before the age of 2, because they know after the age of 2, parents stop taking their kids to the pediatrician. So they got to get all those vaccines in. And my children are in their 20s, they got about 40 vaccines, which was enough to take out one of my children. And now there's 72 in the 2-year schedule. They're putting, you know, 5 to 8 into one needle. So parents are like, oh, got one shot. No, didn't get one shot. There were 7 or 8 of which they have no idea what the synergistic effect is. So mm-hmm. I would urge people, we only have 2.5 minutes left with you today, and I really appreciate you coming on, but really how to get people to do this in their local communities. They should go to the hood.nz, because it's not a national thing, it's an international thing that we're dealing with. This is international, and children are everywhere around the world. We have to protect the children because we have the voices and we can get people together. And I think that there's one thing that all of us agree on, is that children should be safe. The healthy-minded folks, you know, where the children should be safe. And how can we make them safe? So it doesn't matter if you're a parent or your children are grown, still there's definitely a reason to get involved. And you can always use the information off thehoodnz.com in order to benefit your areas, because a lot of people are waking up to the fact that they're saying, okay, I can't change the nation. I can't change the puppet, you know, who's call the president or the prime minister. You can't change that, but I can change that around you, which you did, and I really congratulate you for the work that you've done.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's an ever-evolving website because we're trying to keep it up to date. So we're always trying to gather doctors to make sure that we are putting up credible information as well. So sometimes it goes for a spurt and it's suddenly like fully refreshed and then it goes for a lull. But that's the intention, is that it's a one-stop shop. And we also tried to word it because the 12-year-olds were given the ability to make an informed decision. We had a lot of family court cases where the children were actually allowed to advocate for themselves and had a chance not to get it if they felt strongly about it, because it worked both ways in the court system. Okay. And so we tried to make the site digestible and very simple so that children could read it if they needed to get information. So there's videos and just questions that you can ask your doctor. Go in there and challenge them, and don't accept the brush off that you get. There's so many fancy lines and you know, if colorful somebody, pamphlets, and it's just look beyond that. Look beyond and find who paid for that study and where it was done and how fast it was done.
In 14 seconds, how can people get a hold of you after going to your website? Do you have an email in case somebody has a question?
Yes, info@thehoodnz.com. You can click through from the website too.
Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.